American woman.
It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this moment. And thank you to this team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, Jen, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Thursday to you, producer Steve.
Well, I'd like to think that it's happy. I'd like to thank our engineering peeps for being here this morning and keeping my blood pressure up.
Yes, but we're on the air, so that's a really good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the main thing. But I know that, it is. It is a bit stressful making a live show come on the air, and you do a great job, producer Steve. I tell you what, my hat's off to you. Thank you. You're valued.
We were having some water cooler talk the other day with some of the younger staff, and they're just kind of they're really cautious about stepping up to the board. And I think until you do a live show, and in the years that you and I have been doing this, I think I've seen everything that can possibly go wrong. Everything. I've seen it all.
Don't say that.
Oh yeah, that's probably inviting trouble.
Yeah, do not say that. But yes, what is it? Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise. We're here again this Thursday.
Yes.
So, continuing on here, check out our website, kimmunson.com. I tell you what, we're working hard on this, and there is all kinds of great information there. And highly recommend you check that out. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds, and our most recent podcast. We haven't done a podcast in a while. We're going to record one today with Dr. Jill Vecchio. She's done a whole bunch of research on the Great Reset, which we see and now playing out in front of our eyes. And that will roll out in this week's newsletter, so be sure and check that out. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I so appreciate it. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity as we look at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. Can you say Vladimir Putin? You know, when we've talked about this, I've said it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, property, freedom, or livelihood. I would say that there's all four right there via force, whether with a weapon. And I said, yep, they come over the hill and they want to take all your stuff. That's what Vladimir Putin's trying to do to Ukraine right now, producer Steve.
I look at the headlines. I hear it in different talk shows. I still don't get how he can possibly. And if he's crossed the line and he really is a madman, then I guess there is no figuring him out. But I just don't get, without the provocation, without a number of different things, how he can send hundreds of thousands of troops to the border and then do what he's doing right now. I don't get it.
Well, it's because he perceives that the West is weak. And just look what has happened within the last year since Joe Biden took office. The economy is struggling. Inflation is at 40-year highs. We have on the geopolitical front, we've got, Russia, North Korea saber-rattling. China's looking at Taiwan. And all of this, remember when Reagan talked about peace through strength?
Yeah.
Well, Trump got that as well. And I want to say to all of these never-Trumpers and to people on the left that hated his tweets, they didn't like what he said. And I agree. Sometimes he said things in a rather bombastic manner. But But I could see his policies and how they were working. And maybe Biden, Obama said something, we're going to take all your stuff and we're going to make you feel good about it. And they go, okay, no problem. That's actually kind of what's happened, Producer Steve.
Well, I recall back in 2016, members of my own family who were sitting back scratching their head. It's like, I don't know what to think of this Trump guy, and got caught up in his rhetoric and really weren't listening to what he was really saying. And then, you know, the major media and all the other forces in there, they realized that crack in the wall was there, and they drove a wedge into it big time.
Well, and if there'd been really honest reporting about the guy, many of his speeches sounded very Lincoln-esque, very Washingtonian, if you'd really listened to his speeches. And of course, he was impeached, but he was never, there was nothing there. But it was really, I think, the deep state on both sides of the aisle throughout corporate America. It was the deep state that felt threatened by him, and they were threatened by him. And that's why they pulled out all stops to try to destroy him, although he's still standing. But America is in a very difficult situation. And I was thinking about it, Steve, when we were preparing for the show, about the general welfare of the people. And that is one of the things that is in the preamble of the Constitution, that we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. That's what government is supposed to be doing. And they are letting us down across the spectrum.
The big phrase of the day, or, you know, how our colloquialisms come around, it's like, stay in your lane. Well, government is so far out of its lane, they're not even on the same highway as the people anymore.
Well, and yes, I want to continue on with a couple of things, but we'll come back to this general welfare here in just a minute. Let's see, several things. Natalie Minton, she does such a great job, and she has put together a workshop this Saturday afternoon at the Independence Institute for, candidates, newly electeds, and their support staff regarding basically local government. And I'm going to be one of the panelists there. And you can get more information at coelected.com. That's this Saturday, 1 to 4 in the afternoon. And so many of our newly electeds become kind of brainwashed from the Colorado Municipal League. And the way this thing works is the Colorado Municipal League is lobbyists, and they say that they are representing the interests of cities and towns and municipalities here in Colorado. But they may be representing them, but they're not representing the people. And so they bring in all the newly electeds, and they have a lot of money because each city, town, municipality, they pay dues to the Colorado Municipal League based on their population. So it's a great gravy train, and they lean to the left. They're bigger government. And so Natalie Minton is starting this to try to provide a place where elected representatives on the local level can start to network, not feel like they're alone. And I would highly recommend anybody that's interested in running for local office attend on Saturday afternoon. So that's super important. Today at 10 to noon at the Dirt Dog Roadhouse, 17999 West Colfax, again 10 to noon, the Trucker Freedom Convoy 2022 is coming through town, and so you might check that out. Also want to say welcome to new sponsors of the show, and that is Dr. James Lyons Weiler, and he and Dr. Jill will be on next week. We'll be talking about all things COVID. But you can find all of his writings at Popular Rationalism at Substack. And he is the founder of the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge. And as I'm looking at the headlines here that Patty's been pulling up for us, Steve, there's some big, big questions that we need to ask him. One of them about this mRNA from the vaccine that is lodging in the liver and what that might be. So we'll ask him about that next week. Let's see. Let's get to Bill of the Day. And this is This is so interesting. Of course, it's all Democrats that are on this. And once again, they only see things through the lens of race. And this is Senate Bill 22-128. And the sponsors are Julie Gonzalez and Pete Lee, senators, Democrat, and Representatives Jennifer Bacon and Stephen Woodrow, Democrat. And it's regarding supposed implicit bias in jury selection. And what I can see is one of the things that jury selection is really important, and both sides have to agree to those on the jury. But if they have a jurist who may have an implicit bias against law enforcement, that is important to know as you're going through jury selection. And so anyway, some of the questions that may be asked, this bill now says that that is implicit bias. I've got to think, though, if you're putting jurors being juries, that if they have a bias against law enforcement, you've got a problem right out of the, you know, out of the gate on that, on trying to get a conviction. And interestingly enough, all the district attorneys, both Democrat and Republican, even those I think bought off by George Soros, are against this, producer Steve.
Which really makes you scratch your head. Okay, the fact that the four sponsors are Democratic, that's fine. But like I asked you earlier in our pre-call, it's like, what are they really what's really happening? Are they trying to level the playing field, or are they trying to tilt it somehow?
Skew it.
Okay.
I think they're trying to skew it.
So you scratch your head when you understand that the district attorneys across the board are against it. It's like, all right, what's your motivation?
And it's so interesting that Democrats stand up for predators instead of for the victims. And we're seeing that not only in nature with the wolves and with the mountain lions, but also in the jury selection as well. One other thing I wanted to mention, and this goes back to the general welfare. When Joe Biden said in his State of the Union address the other night that he was going to open up the strategic oil reserves to try to blunt the increasing cost of energy because of what is happening with Russia. What he really needs to do for the general welfare of everyday Coloradans and for Americans is that we need to become energy independent again. We were energy independent a little over a year ago when he took office. Then he immediately shut down the Keystone XL pipeline. He shut down drilling on public lands. And so, let's see, it was Josh Hawley that I think sponsored this. They introduced the American Independence from Russian Energy Act, a bill meant to authorize the Keystone XL pipeline, boost domestic oil and gas production, and prevent President Biden's executive branch agency from halting energy leasing on federal land and water, among other provisions. But it was voted down 221 to 202. Almost entirely along partisan lines. Interesting, though, Matt Gaetz from Florida voted against it because he said it opened up drilling on Florida's western coast, which he thought could be detrimental to, I think, some of the security things that we did. It seems like they could figure that out. It seems like this would be something to make happen, and then perhaps another piece of legislation could figure that out. So I was a little surprised on that, but I think it's very telling that was voted down. Now let's think about it. If we spend down our strategic reserves and we're not energy independent, well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, Steve, to figure out that we're going to be in a world of hurt, and certainly they're not taking care of the general welfare of everybody. And the general welfare doesn't mean that you take from one person to give to another. It means that you're enacting policies that benefit the general everybody, their general welfare.
In my memory, if my history is right, the strategic oil reserves were in response to back to the 70s and the oil embargoes that hit us. And this, what Joe Biden is proposing, this is another one of those carrot and stick things. He's hanging it out there and saying, well, this will contain the price of gasoline, you know, the price at the pump. And that's not what the strategic oil reserves are for. But yes, he's going to get a lot of public support because everybody sees the pain at the pump.
Well, I hope he doesn't get a whole bunch of public support, because this is like taking your rainy day fund and spending it and realizing that there's actually a thunderstorm coming and you're spending everything down now. He needs to be we need to have people that can actually look a little further into the future. And so we're going to be talking with a couple of candidates here in the next few segments about what their views might be regarding America and what we can do about this. I'm very disappointed that this thing failed, but it's always good to get these people on record so that you know where they voted exactly on that. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, the show comes to you because I have great sponsors. Hooters Restaurants is one of those great sponsors. They are holding the line on their $10 burger specials, and they sound really tasty. A mushroom Swiss burger, bacon blue burger, Southwest burger, Western burger, a Cali burger, or mac and cheese burger, $10. That's, Monday through Friday during lunchtime. Oh, wait, no, that's all day, every day. So be sure and check that out. We'll be right back and continue on.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. On the line with me is Tim Reichert, and he is a candidate for Congressional District 7, wanted to talk with him about why he has decided to run for Congress. Tim Reichert, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me.
So why have you decided to run for CD7?
Well, you know, I'm not a politician. This is my first time running for office. I've lived the life of most folks. I grew up in a lower middle class family. I felt the effects of inflation in the 1970s. I worked my way through college. I was the first person to graduate from college from my family. I eventually earned a PhD in economics, became an economist, and I think that in a time of very high gas prices, expensive groceries, I have a plan for policy changes that I think can help. We've had four decades of policies coming out of Washington, D.C. that have really harmed and eroded the American middle class, made it much harder to achieve the American dream. And I think I can bring real solutions.
So what are those, Tim?
So they are in three categories. There's something that I call the American Middle Class Restoration Plan. The three categories are economy, public safety, and education. So let me start with the economy. I'll give you one example in each of those categories. So data ownership, personal data ownership. I think if you treat personal data as a privacy question, I think you're partially right. I think it's more important than that. I think there's a property rights question. Data is sort of the new oil, and mm-hmm. we emit it, we create it by just walking around. And imagine if you and I owned our personal data, and we leased that data to advertisers, technology companies, and so forth. That would do two things. It would create an income stream for every adult American, possibly as high as $3,000 to $5,000 per adult per year. It would also allow us to discipline technology companies, because if you did not like what Facebook or Twitter or whomever was doing, you could not lease your data. You could refuse to lease your data to them. The Fed and housing prices. I mean, we have an inflation that is what economists refer to as the cruelest tax of all. That has to be brought under control. I think the Fed's mandate, which is sort of the instructions that we give to the Federal Reserve needs to be adjusted. First of all, to take a much, much clearer focus on inflation, and second, to include housing prices in its measure, in the thing that we measure it on. As for public safety, I think that's, you know, so we're all looking at this fentanyl that's coursing through the veins of this country. That's happening because of our porous southern border. We've reduced the penalties that accrue to people for possession. We reclassed fentanyl from a class one to a class two substance, and that said to cartels that Colorado is open for business. You look at Colorado, we're one of the highest in the country in terms of the increase in fentanyl deaths and fentanyl trafficking. And education, look, parental freedom is probably the most important thing we need to do in the area of education. I also think we need to hold school boards, state and local school boards, as well as schools themselves, accountable. They need to be transparent with parents about exactly what your child is learning and from whom. So the American Middle Class Restoration Plan is a broad plan in three categories. It appeals to the Republican base. It appeals to independents. It appeals to the young. It appeals to older folks and everybody in between. And I'm excited to be able to tell you about it today and to get on the road and campaign around it.
Let's go back to this this thing on the economy. I find this somewhat intriguing. I've never heard this before regarding personal data ownership. And you're absolutely right. Data is the new oil. And what we see, for example, I needed to order some new boots the other day. So I ordered them. Now, every time I go to my computer, those boots show up all the time. And so somebody certainly has taken that data without my permission. Well, maybe I gave my permission, but I didn't realize it because, you signed this. I find this very, very intriguing because I agree with you. Our data should be a property right, but I've never heard anybody say that before, Tim Reichert.
Well, I'm glad you like the idea. I think it's crucially important. I had a firm of almost 60 economists in five offices here in the U.S. and one in Israel, which I sold back in 2018. But we did a lot of work for large technology companies, and I was able to see from the inside the way in which data is actually used. And I think fundamentally what this data science is, it's a form of, first of all, manipulation. And I don't mean that in the sort of terrible sense that it perhaps sounds like, although I do think it is used at times for manipulation in the really bad sense of that term. But it's also the source of the economic power that these companies have over us. And so, you know, the most important part of that plan for personal data ownership is, in my view, the ability that Americans, normal Americans, would have to discipline big tech. I think if we don't do that, not only are we missing a great opportunity to, I call this sort of a digital homestead act, to put an asset back in the hands of the people who produced that asset, which is you and I. But more importantly, I think we miss an incredible opportunity to bring big tech to heel. And so I'm glad you like that idea. I think it's very important.
Okay, let's talk about spending and taxes. Sure. The previous administration, I feel, did a great job because they reduced taxes. But we cannot seem to get anybody in Washington to stop spending. And I think in a way that goes back to the American people, because the American people have continued to elect people that have said, we'll continue the gimme to you. And we're spending ourselves into oblivion. And Tim, the American idea has always been that we're going to pass something better on to the next generation. And I'm so concerned that we, our generation, is passing a big fat IOU to the next generation. We're seeing many of our younger people are delaying, if not no longer ever, buying a home, getting married, starting a family. And they're delaying that because of so many things in the economy. And it saddens me when that happens, Tim. What can we do about that?
Yeah. So, great question. Incredibly important issue. I'm glad you raised it. So I think one thing that most people don't realize is we're in a place now, this really started at the end of 2020, in which this out-of-control federal spending is being funded directly by the Fed. What that means is that our central bank, actually somebody at the central bank literally presses a button, new money is created, that money is used to buy the bonds that the Treasury Department uses to pay for the things that the federal government is doing. That's brand new. We have not done that in our history previously. Maybe back in World War II, but very briefly if we did. What that means is that the federal spending is being funded by money printing in a way that it hasn't previously. And so it's directly underneath this inflation. And then in turn, what that means is that the poor and the marginalized, the middle class, these are the people who hurt most when inflation happens. They're paying for this federal spending. Economists call inflation the cruelest tax of all because it's so regressive. It's the poor and the middle class. It's the marginalized paying for directly through inflation, paying for this out of control federal spending. So what can we do? Number one, the Fed, we need to bring the Fed back under control. We cannot have a situation where we're printing money to pay for our deficits. Countries that do that really do not survive long under that kind of regime. I think we're in danger of I don't want to say hyperinflation, because that's such a scary word, but we're in danger of much higher inflation than we're seeing even now. So that's number one. Number two, I think we need a more muscular Congress. Congress has to use the power of the purse in a rational way. We need sane, sober, and smart leadership in Congress. But Congress is supposed to, per the Constitution, be in charge of spending. And yet a lot of these decisions have been conceded to the executive branch, the so-called administrative state. And all of this authorization that happens to bureaucracies by Congress is underneath much of this out-of-control spending. And Congress has got to take that authority back and get much more serious about the budgets that it is authorizing.
Well, and to that point, I really feel, Tim Reichert, that Congress, many of those in Congress, have abdicated the responsibility of representative government because that way they don't have to be accountable and they can get reelected. And I'm going to go to our quote for the day. I just blew right past that, Tim Reichert, but I think you'll enjoy this. And that is Patrick Henry. I always do a quote for the day, normally in the first segment, Tim. But Patrick Henry was an American Revolution era orator, best known for his quote, "Give me liberty or give me death." Henry was an influential leader in the radical opposition to the British government, but only accepted the new federal government after the passage of the Bill of Rights, for which he was in great measure responsible. With his persuasive and passionate speeches, Henry helped kickstart the American Revolution. And this is what he said. He was born in 1736. He died in 1799. He said, "The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, and the brave." So, Tim Reichert, what's your thoughts about our quote for today?
Well, I was going to say right on. I agree. I think vigilance is so crucial. It's part of the reason I'm running for office. I think you're seeing that across the state and across the country. I think normal, everyday Americans who never dreamt of running for office are emerging and saying, look, we have to own our citizenship in a way that that we didn't perhaps over the past decades. And that is a very hopeful sign. So I'm hopeful.
Well, I am too. So, Tim Reichert, how can people get more information about you?
Well, thanks for asking. ReichertForCongress.com. Go to my website. If you want to hear more about my economic policy proposals, there is an op-ed in Newsweek that I wrote a couple of weeks ago. Just Google Tim Reichert Newsweek, and you'll see 9 of the proposals that I put forward in the economy section of my plan.
Okay, Tim Reichert, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
Okay. And before we go to break, I want to give a shout out to another great sponsor of the show. That's Kirsch Insurance Group. They are specialists in the Medicare arena, and we're starting to see different states, Colorado included, start to want to tinker with Medicare. And that is why it is so, and well, Medicare reimbursements. That's why it is so important that you have a specialist on your side of the table, and that is Kirsch Insurance Group. They work with a number of different carriers throughout Colorado, and it doesn't cost you anything to give them a call, so check them out. Their website is iKirsch, that's iKirsch.com, that's iKirsch.com, and we'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. On the line with me, we are in election season right now, and there are many good people that are stepping up to run for office. And Gino Campana is on the line with me. He is running for U.S. Senate here in Colorado. Gino, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me.
So, Gino, why have you decided to throw your hat in the ring?
Well, I threw my hat in the ring to fight for the American dream. This is the first time I think a generation is looking out at the next generation and saying, they're not likely to do better than us. I believe the American dream, Kim, is the ability to live a life that is better than your parents lived, and for your children and grandchildren to be able to live a life that is better than what you lived. And this current administration and Bennett and the rest of the socialists, they've got the American dream under attack, primarily because they don't understand what it is.
Well, and what's amazing to me, Gino, is what's happening with Ukraine. And with all of this really tough stuff that's going on, in a way, I'm grateful because it is shedding light on these terrible policies. As you mentioned, these socialist Marxist policies that have never had the best interests of Americans on the forefront. And we're now seeing the results of those big time. It's pretty scary. I'm hoping we can get people into Washington quick so that we can get this whole thing turned around.
I agree with you. I don't think time could go any faster. We need it to go faster. It's scary to think that this administration is still in play for another 3 years, considering the damage they've done in the first year. You know, when the American dream is strong, we are secure. The basic premise, the basic foundational premise of the American dream is safety and security, and that is not what we have right now. We have an administration that is putting their woke policies ahead of our security. You know, we can blame Putin for the invasion, but we need to blame Bennett and Biden for funding this invasion. Where is Bennett at right now in responses to cutting off our purchasing of oil from Russia?
Okay, so we talked about this in the first segment, and that is, and I referred to the general welfare reference here in the preamble of the Constitution. And when Biden, during his State of the Union address the other night, said that he was going to open up the strategic oil reserves, that's what we have there, Gino, for a rainy day. And instead of, and there was a bill in Congress just a few days ago to reopen the Keystone XL pipeline, to reopen drilling on public lands, and it was defeated basically along party lines. And it makes no sense to me to drain our strategic oil reserves if we don't have a plan on how we would, replenish those. What's your thoughts?
I think my thoughts are energy security is national security, and these guys need to figure it out. Here's some facts. We were a net exporter a year ago. This administration came in and made major changes to regulations, prevented pipelines from being finished, which reduced our output of oil. There's no doubt about that. That took place. We need to take that into consideration. We need to open up our pipe. We need to complete these pipelines, open up, get these leases that are sitting on somebody's desk and get them signed. You know, I'm a developer. I'm a builder. And I used this analogy the other day. If I was told by the government that I could no longer lease apartments in 10 years, I wouldn't be building and developing into a future market apartments. It wouldn't make sense. So if we continue to tell the oil and gas industry that we're going to put them out of business, they're not going to go out there and explore and drill new wells and increase our production. But the bottom line is this. We're buying 600,000 barrels a day from Russia. $60 million worth of oil at $100 a barrel, which, as you know, yesterday we eclipsed $105 a barrel. This war Putin has going on right now is costing him approximately $20 million a year. There's a net difference of $40 million.
So we're helping fund this. Is that right? I'm connecting
Absolutely.
That dot. We're helping fund this. Go ahead.
I was just, Kim, that's my point. Okay, Putin made the decision to invade, and we can argue whether or not the botched exit of Afghanistan emboldened him into doing this. We can argue that Russia has invaded Ukraine twice while Biden was in the administration and didn't do it while Trump was in the administration. We can argue that when Putin was considering moving towards Ukraine or invading Ukraine, Trump sent Ukraine bombs and Biden sent them blankets. But we can't argue against the fact that we are funding this war. We need to stop purchasing oil from Russia. We need to regain the independence of our country, and we need to export to other countries. And we need to provide other countries a reliable source of energy. We have an abundance of energy in our country. It's ridiculous that we're going to say we're not going to produce energy in our country and all other countries do it and buy it from other countries. Well, we do a better job sourcing that energy and bringing it to market than any other country on the planet.
But, Gino, what it has been, it's been public policy that has really shut this down. And it seems like you talk about the American dream. I know that is really kind of front and center of your campaign. And I believe in the American dream as well. And we realize people from all over the world believe in this American dream. I can tell you, Gino, that many of the most fervent patriots that I know are from other countries, people that are Americans by choice. And many of them warn us of the danger of what was coming down the pike. We now see that. I think everyday people are waking up about this, though. Gino, what do you think?
Oh, they're definitely waking up. We had our caucus in Larimer County here two nights ago, and it was the busiest caucus I've ever seen. We had elections that took place at nearly every precinct. We have not seen that before, Kim. People are upset. They're energized. They understand that when the cost of energy goes up, the cost of everything goes up. And when the cost of items are going up faster than your wages are going up, you're just falling further and further behind in this country. That's not the American dream. As I said in the beginning, I want my kids to do better than what I did. My parents immigrated to this country to have a better life than what they were allowed what Italy would have provided to them. And they had endless opportunities in this country to do what they wanted, to work the hours they wanted to work, achieve what they wanted to achieve. But I was able to live that. But as I look at my children, it's not the same. Because you have people making decisions based on and building a team. Frankly, I was on the phone yesterday with Admiral Brown. He's one of my advisors. As you see, my website is Gino for Senate. If you go there, you see my advisors. I always say I have better advisors than Biden has. And while I was on the phone with Admiral Brown, we were talking about what could have taken place when we saw this military quote exercise taking place by Putin along the border, and they're assembling over 200,000 soldiers. We could have been more proactive. We could have invited Poland and Romania to take place in our own military exercise along the border. We could have put sanctions in place immediately. We could have increased our production immediately. I mean, let's face it, Russia is a gas station with a gigantic army.
Well, and let's just connect this dot. And I'm not sure I got those numbers exactly right. You said we're buying 600,000 barrels of oil from Russia each month or each. How often are we buying that?
That's a day. We're buying 600,000 barrels a day, according to the numbers we have, at $100 a barrel at $60 million a day.
Okay, so we, in essence, are funding this aggression against Ukraine, and all the while, what we're seeing, again, because Biden has closed down the Keystone XL pipeline, has closed down drilling on our public lands. So not only is there the aggression over here on Ukraine, but I'm just thinking about our young people trying to go after their American dream. They would like to buy a house. They would like to have a family. They would like to, have all of those things. A lot of kids are having to put that off. And now with inflation, what that's also doing to our elderly population who are on a fixed income, these policies, we can switch these if we get the right people in Washington, D.C., Gino Campana.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You go to the pump right now, we're paying 50% more than we did a year ago. You know, look, Biden can go out and do his State of the Union address, and he can have a speechwriter write whatever they want to write. But the facts are the facts. This looks like a recreation of the Carter administration. I mean, did they go back to the 70s and pull their foreign policy out of the garbage can and decide to reuse it? I mean, the notion that we're repeating silly mistakes, and you see the inflation just continue to go up just like it did during the Carter administration.
Okay, Gino Campana, we're going to go to break. When we come back, there are several things I'd like to ask you about. China, taxes, and spending. Because if we don't get this spending under control, we're going to spend ourselves into oblivion. I'm talking with Gino Campana. He is a candidate for U.S. Senate. And before we do that, though, another great sponsor of the show is Castlegate Knife and Tool. And they're a family-owned business. They're located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. I gave my son-in-law a knife just recently, and he said, oh, my gosh, you know this is a great knife when it has instructions on how to take care of it. And his eyes just lit up when I gave that to him. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Gino Campana.
Three Points Financial is a fiduciary financial planning company focused on helping individuals and families. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse at Three Points Financial specialize in investment strategies, tax planning and preparation, and retirement planning with no product sales or commissions. Tax laws have changed and will continue to change. Inflation is real. Three Points Financial helps you maneuver through these changes to achieve your financial success. For clarity and a solid, relevant financial and investment plan, while working with a company that puts your interests at the forefront, schedule a no-obligation initial consultation at threepointsfinancial.com. That's threepointsfinancial.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And on the line with me is Gino Campana, and he is a candidate for U.S. Senate here in Colorado. And Gino, I wanted to ask you about spending. This has been a real problem across the spectrum. I loved a number of the things that Trump did as far as reducing rules and regulations and lowering taxes, but it seems like nobody has the chops to reduce spending. What's your comments on that?
Well, I think that's leadership. You know, as a city councilman, My favorite part of the meeting was when we had citizen comment, where we have, you know, people come to the meeting and have a couple minutes to tell us what's on their mind. Many of those people came there because they were deeply passionate about a particular issue that they thought the government was a solution to. And leadership is listening to them and deciphering whether or not the government is the best tool to solve that particular issue. And many times it isn't. The government doesn't do a lot of things better than the private sector. And it's not their job to solve every single problem. Sometimes it's better to have a philanthropic organization or a church or somebody else resolve that issue. But the problem is people get into leadership positions and they can't say no. You know, as a city councilman, we had a balanced budget. In fact, we reduced our debt by about 36% during the time that I was a city councilman. At the state level, we have a balanced budget. Why can't we have a balanced budget at the federal level? We have to do with our own businesses and our own families.
Boy, that is a really good point. And it's interesting you would mention that, because I was on city council, Gino, here in Lone Tree from 2012 to 2016. And I saw the exact same thing, that there were people with a specific pet project, if you will, that would come before council and would like government to fund it. And we need to be electing representatives. I'm no longer calling them leaders. Representatives. We're a representative government. We need to be electing representatives that take a look at this and say, is this the proper role of government? And we know with the Constitution and the preamble, there's guardrails on what the government is supposed to be doing. And we need to be getting that back into those guardrails, Gino Campana.
You know, it doesn't happen overnight. Yeah. I had a mentor, a guy named Stan Everett, who continues to be a mentor today, who took me under his wings, he and a number of other leaders in our community, when I was in my early 20s, and started talking to me about the government's role at a local level. Stan Everett and his family have developed, you know, built thousands of homes and communities throughout northern Colorado. And that's what it takes. It takes leadership, not just when you're sitting behind the desk, but leadership that's mentoring the next generation, the next generation that's coming up to that bench, and what the proper role of government is. And unless we have conversations with our children and our grandchildren and our friends about it, you might have heard me at the debate the other night, where I asked people to go home and talk to their children and their grandchildren, their parents, their friends, about what their American dream is and how they can enable them to live the American dream. You know, I want to go back to one more thing here. You know, Joe Biden's, you know, Marxist and totalitarian policies, they are destroying the American dream. And it's one thing to be an incompetent president. And I have the highest respect for the office of the presidency, but I'm really struggling with our current president right now. But you know what I think is even worse is when you have somebody like Michael Bennett, who's representing us as our U.S. senator, who does nothing but enable that incompetency. He's not there for Biden to lean on when he needs advice and consent. He's gone. He's silent. Where is he while all this is going on in Ukraine? And why hasn't he voted in favor of sanctioning the purchasing of oil from Russia?
Well, and in doing some research, I think that Bennett actually votes with Biden almost 100% of the time. And so when we look at all of the challenges that we have going on here, you take a look at Bennett, and he's been voting with Biden, and the veil is certainly off on all this. I did want to mention Stan Everett has really stepped up to the plate. You mentioned he was a mentor, but he has also created, I think it's called a Legacy Project, if I'm correct, where he's actually mentoring men on the American founding, and it's really a great program, Gino. Are you familiar with that?
I am familiar with it, and I had the informal version of it with Stan and others like him in our community. They're great people. We need more people like that. And you know what? They exist. But a lot of them have kind of pulled back a little bit because of this woke mentality. If you say, you know, it's nice to have a father participate in what's taking place in their children's life, you're ridiculed for that. There's nothing wrong with a statement like that.
Well, there's been such an assault on our men in America. And one of the other shows that I have, Gino, is America's Veteran Stories. I went to Normandy in 2016 with a group that accompanied four D-Day veterans back to Normandy. And I realized these young men, they stood up, they stood against tyranny, they stood against evil. And I do think that that is still inherent in America. I know I've gotten us a little off subject here, but let's, I think the other thing is taxes. I want to know what you would do about taxes when you're in Washington.
Well, I took a pledge that says I'm not going to raise taxes, and that's my policy. You know, I'm going to do everything I can to reduce taxes. We need to get this government spending under control. We need to stop saying yes to everything that comes across our desk. But you see, we have a U.S. senator right now, Michael Bennett, that one of his bills that he sponsored was elimination of the debt ceiling because he said it's too much of an inconvenience to go out and negotiate with other legislators every year to increase the debt ceiling. This is a senator that is out of touch with America, out of touch with Coloradoans, out of touch with families. Families that are sitting around the table right now trying to decide how they're going to pay for their children's medication, how they're going to keep them in child care, whether or not it even makes sense to go to work anymore. I met a lady that said, I'm paying more in child care and fuel than I make going to work. Why would I go to work? That's not the American dream.
No, it's not. One other thing, Gino, and I, my researcher, Patty, has challenged me when I'm talking to candidates, and I kind of forgot to do this until now, and that is it would be great if we could get a pledge by people that we elect that would say, I will not vote on some bill or legislation that I've not read first. And of course, I think that would put the stop on so many different things. And James Madison said this. He said, it will be of little avail to the people that the laws are made by men of their own choice if the laws be so voluminous that they cannot be read or so incoherent that they cannot be understood. And here's James Madison, one of our founders, saying that. So Patty's really recommending, I agree with her, that we take a pledge that we're not going to have laws passed that we can't read.
Well, isn't that a novel idea? How about we even take it a step further, that you don't understand? You know, I'm battle-tested, Kim. I've built businesses. While building businesses, I coached over 50 teams of soccer. I coached wrestling for 20 years. And I was writing legislation. I served as a planning commissioner for 7 years. I was on every board and commission possible. I served as a city councilman, county party chair. And if someone wants to go back and look at my record, which they will, they already have, they're going to see that I was the type of legislator that entered the room being as equipped as possible to represent the people I was put in place to represent. And that's the same way I believe it should take place with U.S. Senate. And that's why I built the team that I built. And I can go to take on Michael Bennett in debates and other issues as the most equipped candidate to beat Michael Bennett. And we will beat Michael Bennett. He has no passion for this job any longer. We're going to retire him. We're going to thank him for his service. We're going to retire him. We're going to move in there. We're going to have real representation from all four corners of our state by a senator who's deeply passionate about our state and loves our state.
Okay. What's we've got just about a couple of minutes left, Gino. How would you like to button this whole thing up?
I'd like to button it up by first of all saying thank you to the enormous amount of support I've been getting. I don't know if you saw in the paper a couple days ago, we announced the American Dream Team. We had over 85 current and former elected officials and business leaders that have stepped up and joined our American Dream Team. And that story was posted 2 days ago, I believe, in Colorado Politics. And since then, we've had a number of people have reached out and said, hey, I want to join the American Dream Team. I've got a list of advisors that are working for free for me that talk to me on a weekly basis about events going on. I need to thank them. My team has been amazing. And I'll tell you, people are ready to fight back for their American dream. And I'm going to ask people to go to my website, Gino for Senate. If you like what you heard her today, go there, do a deep dive on our website, and get involved. Join our team, the American Dream Team. Help us at the State Assembly to advance, and then we'll go and beat Bennett. And I promise everybody this. When we beat Bennett, I'll go to Washington, D.C. every day, and I'll fight for their American dream.
Okay. Well, Gino Campana, I so appreciate you joining us today. And again, what is that that website?
Gino, 4FORSenate.com.
Okay, Gino, thank you so much. And my friends, as you know, we are bringing forward to you all these different candidates. And I think it's important, as you know, I purchased my airtime, but I think it's important that you hear from all these different candidates. So any candidate that reaches out to me, I will put them on the air so that you can get to know them better, so that you can make an informed decision. And it's not just about going and voting. It's about each of us. We need to take our civic duty, and we need to take that very seriously. And not only do we vote to get people into office, but then we want to have a relationship with them to keep them accountable and to have conversations with them. That is really the American idea. And it's not this idea of sending people to Washington for years and years and years and years. And we see that on both sides of the aisle, both Republican and Democrat. And I'm not sure that I'm really up for term limits. I think that we have a civic duty at the ballot box. That's where we exhibit our term limits. But we have so many great people that are running for office. And again, any candidate that is running for office, if you reach out to me, I will find some time for you on the show. Our quote for the end of the day is, again, it's from Patrick Henry. And he said, should I keep back my opinions at such a time through fear of giving offense that I should consider myself as guilty of treason towards my country and an act of disloyalty toward the majesty of heaven, which I revere above all earthly kings? So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.